good singing all the way around. I appreciate the good songs of Zion and all that we heard this morning as well as tonight. It's always good to be in the house of God. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking there this evening. The book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 13. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, if you're able to stand, verse 11. If you're able to stand. We'll look there for a little bit tonight. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you that thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Move in our midst, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on what time is it? And when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that I was preaching the other day, and we were talking about redeeming the time because the days are evil. We ought not to be wasting time, but we ought to be buying it up, using it wisely for the cause of Christ. You young, quick minds that are here tonight, you ought to spend every fiber of your being trying to absorb like a sponge as much of the Word of God as you possibly can. Because when you get my age, you won't be able to soak up as much. Yeah, I can tell you right now, as usual, I could read a line or two, and if God had speak to my heart, I had a hold of it, it had a hold of me. But now, the older I get, I have to study twice as hard to get half as much. Yeah. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, that's the reason why I'm encouraging you to be able to redeem the time. Jesus said that I must work the work of him while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man's going to work. There's going to come a time when we're going to run out of time. There's a passage over in Revelation in chapter number 10. I don't know if I read that with you the other day or not. But over in Revelation in chapter number 10, this Bible says in verse number 6 and in verse number 7, there in Revelation chapter number 10. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about when you read that passage there in verse 6, and he says, and swear by himself that liveth forever and ever. That's what God is. He lives forever and ever. Who created heaven and things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Let me tell you, time is going to be running out. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that whenever he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. Now let me say to you that, if you will, that one of these days is that God is going to say time is going to be no more. Whatever time you and I have left here, and we never know for sure what that is, but God knoweth, you ought to use it for the glory of God, I can promise you that. I've seen many a person that lay on the deathbed drawing the last breath, wishing that they had more time. Let me tell you right now, it's a valuable commodity. And let me tell you that you ought to be using it and using it for the glory of God. First of all, what time is it? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's high time. That's what we read in the passage. That Bible said that we ought to be knowing something about this time. And the reason that we ought to know something is because we can see the signs of it all around about us. And make no mistake about it. Here's where we're at in the average Baptist church. And I say Baptist because most of the time I know more about Baptists than I do anybody else. But here's where we are. It don't matter where you preach, what you preach from, how hard you preach it. They're pretty much going to live like they want to live, do what they want to. And it's just God's hard luck if he can't get in on it. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but I do mean it, and it sounds ugly. You know, every time somebody's speaking and somebody says something one way or the other, is you and I that have been saved any length of time, there ought to be a Bible verse hit our mind. You and I see somebody up and down the road that don't look right, walk right, talk right, spit white, or dress white. That'll be a passage, buddy, that hits our heart and hits our mind that God's lodged in our heart and mind. In the day and hour that we're living in, you know what time it is? It's time to wake up, he said. Time to wake out of sleep. As a result of that, you're going to find out that salvation's nearer. The redemption of the body's nearer every moment than when you and I first believed and got saved. How'd you like to stick your hand, head up in heaven, and instead of hearing, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," what in the world was you thinking? Where have you been? See? Well, you're not going to want that. You're not going to want that. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, it's high time that we wake up. Get up, wake up out of sleep. In the lesson that we're looking at, and to give you an illustration, and I know, hey, I'm talking to the choir. I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. I realize to know that you're busy praying. I realize to know that you've already been praying, not only for these that are sick, praying about the meeting coming up, praying about Brother Gullick, praying about the power of God, praying about, and if you're not, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, see, nobody's going to be able to know that except you and God. And in the lesson that we're looking at is that we'd like to have the presence and power of God, and as we would submit or solicit him, and we'd like it in a moment without having to waste a whole lot of time in between getting there. I got to say to you that our God, let me say, is a jealous God. You know, the day and hour that we're living in, what I've seen across the country, boy, back whenever I first surrendered to preach, it was bad enough. I didn't dream that it could get this worse. Them old preachers that used to preach, buddy, and they'd just tear up in their eyes, and they'd preach with all of their heart and all their mind and all their soul and all that bit. Old Brother Hawkins, Cullen Hawkins, he was a great man. You'd have liked him if you could have met him. I mean, he preached like a house of fire. And he told me, he said, "You know, Brother Dennis, whenever I started out, we could go up and down these roads and that apartment complex and that housing complex, and we could knock on doors and invite people to church, and it would fill up the house of God with people. And now you can't hardly get an unholy groan out of one of them." Now, in the day and hour that we're living in is that there's something we ought to know. It's high time, it's high time. I want you to look at yourself. Do you ever see yourself like God does? And I do. And boy, it makes me sick at what I see. See? Somebody said, "Well, I don't feel that bad about me." What a blind person that you really are. That's why I remind us over and over again that if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. And you'd be there with me too. Now, second of all is, not only is it high time, but in the process of time. You know, there's some things that are all around about us. And over there in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 4, about verse number 3, there was a man by the name of Cain. He is a farmer. Remember that? He had a brother by the name of Abel that was a shepherd. And Cain was a man that brought forth from the fruit of the ground that he had. It was a bloodless offering. And he said, in the process of time, boy, he was just glad he could produce something. Well, anyhow, it wasn't so funny when God had no respect for his offering. I got to tell you, you know, everyday life is a process of time. We're seeing things, you know, progress along and so forth and on. And all of this business there, we're talking about every day, and we get so much done and we produce so much. In the process of time, sometimes it takes a little time. You look at these boys and girls that are here, you know, wouldn't do any good for you to walk up and say, "Hey, you act like you're 2 years old." They might just be 2 years old. And you can say that all you want, but it's not going to hurry them up. You know why? They got to have the process of time. They're going to have to grow a little here and a little there and so forth and on. Not only that, but there's a providential time. Now, I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, to the book of in the book of Genesis chapter 17. And you can look there for a moment. We're talking about in the providence of God. This is God knowing what's going on before it ever takes place. And this is God bringing about his perfect will and way in our heart and life. This is called providential time is what we're going to label it. Now, notice that, if you will, please, in Genesis 17. And you can mark the place in about verse number 20 and 21. Now you remember how that God had promised that he was going to give Abraham and he was going to give Sarah thy wife, and he was going to give her a son. Remember that? And it just seemed like she couldn't conceive whatsoever. And so as a result of it, she tried to help him out and help God out by offering the handmaid. Remember that? That they got Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar, and so go into her, you know, the midwife, go into her. And as a result of that, I want you to, that concubine, and bring children forth. Maybe that's what God intended there. Well, as a result, then there was a child by the name of Ishmael that was born unto Abraham and Hagar. Now, notice, if you will, in verse number 20, I mean, already Abraham's thinking, hey, I'm gonna let Ishmael be that son, Lord, but not in the providential time of God, you're not. And he says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, and behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this, watch it, set time in the next year. Boy, in the providence of God, he's got it all figured out, and he knows exactly what time it is. He knows exactly when it's time. And let me say to you is that you're not going to help God and try to hurry God up. See? You know, in this lesson that we're living in, I thought about when I first got saved. I'm telling you right now, when people first get saved, they do crazy stuff. I thought to myself, you know, listen, I believe God wants me to preach. I surrendered to preach a week later. And let me tell you right now, we had our first home we had bought, mobile home, was paying it out and paying out the, well, you know, we didn't have two nickels to rub together hardly. I said, honey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be tied down. I don't know where God's going to send me next. I don't want to be bogged down and tied down with a note like this and living here in Houston. She said, whatever we need to do, let's do it. And so we put it on the market and sold it. Didn't make a dime out of it. Got rid of it. Came up here and went to school some at Jacksonville. Man, what a joke that was. And got to study and went to San Jacinto College some. Oh, yeah, you're not just looking at Joe Blow that got a few stars whenever I was in the first and second grade. I've had some college material under me. Went to the seminary over there in Jacksonville. I never will forget going to Jacksonville Baptist College there. And people that were there, they were letting me have a class, wanted me to read a book, Huckleberry Finn. I said, how in the name of God is Huckleberry Finn going to help me as a preacher? I came here to get something ministerially speaking. See, I tell you what they did have ministerially speaking. And they had a bunch of cheerleaders over there with them butt cheek shorts, you know. That's where their butt cheeks hanging out, your shorts. Voting on preachers that were playing some kind of game or this and that. I went into the college professor and asked him, I said, what's going on here? This is supposed to be a Baptist college. And he said, well, yeah, you know, I mean, here you're just getting started, so you don't really know anything. I said, I know what's right and what's wrong when I see it. And we're not going to do anything about it just for you. I said, you ought to either make it look right or take the name Baptist off your college. By the way, they did finally take the name Baptist off years after I've already come and gone. That's fine. If you want to live like a heathen, act like a heathen, be a heathen, well, then you ought not have want to identify. We've got some people that run around here with short shorts and their butt cheeks hanging out, and Appleby Baptist Church T-shirts on there, and they got it tied up in a knot, and their big old belly button hanging out. And I'm glad that every now and again they assist us with a police arrest or something when people are trying to break into the building. I appreciate that. But what a testimony that is. That's bad. It's just bad. I tell you where we're at in America, Baptist preachers been so silent so long, now they got that bunch of transgender, that bunch of perverted queers, they're double perverted, out there blaspheming the cross of Christ, hanging upside down at Dodgers. What in the name of God's going on with even the heathens like Dodger Stadium? Yeah. I don't get bogged down on that, but I can tell you what time it is. It's time somebody woke up somewhere. God said, Abraham, I'm not going to use Ishmael and all that business there. I'm going to use your own son from your own wife. And as a result of that, his slave's going to be Isaac. Now, as a result of that, Abraham's about 99 years old. And let me say to you that whenever you look into these passages that are here, is that he's going to tell Sarah about being able to conceive. And if you read in chapter number 18, it's about verse number 10, it begins there, and we'll look there in the passage. And he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And she's in the tent listening, by the way. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah, they were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after that I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you know, she wanted to play like she didn't laugh. He said, oh, yeah, yes, but you did laugh. And let me say to you, she really knew that physically it was going to be impossible for her husband to reproduce and for her to conceive. And as a result of that, it made her chuckle. And as she laughed about that, they wanted to know, hey, let me tell you, friend, when God's moving, it won't be a laughing matter. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, look in Genesis now, chapter number 21. Genesis 21, it's beginning with about verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. You know what time it is? In the time of God, it's a set time with him. Of which God hath spoken unto him. And Abraham called the name of his son which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. That's what God told him to tell him, and so forth and on. Now, we're not going to take a whole lot of time with the preliminaries and this and that, but I want you to be waiting over in the book of Luke, in Luke in chapter number 1, and you can find that passage in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter number 1. And we'll be looking there in a moment. You remember over in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 about verse number 14 that God said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. There's the prophecy of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that when you look over there in Luke chapter number 1 and about verse number 26, and in the sixth month that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Man, what a thing. I want you to see there that in verse number 28, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, as a result, he tells her that she's going to conceive in her womb, and that holy thing that's going to be born of her is going to be named Jesus. Now, here she is wondering, and I want you to look in the passages. She begins, if you read all the rest of it, she begins to ask a few questions about how and what. Verse 35, and the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And now I want you to watch this here. She's already been asking, how's this going to be? For I don't know a man. I know not a man. Look in verse 37 of chapter 1. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Is anything too hard for God tonight? That's what he said over there with Abraham before Isaac was born. Told that to Sarah. Here he is now telling it to the Virgin Mary. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that in the providence of God's time, at a set time, she conceived and she brought forth a son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and put him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. All right, notice next of all in this lesson that we're looking at is that the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes in chapter number 9 and about verse number 12, I want to talk about a persistent time. And you know, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to be consistent. You're going to have to be persistent in some things and areas of your life. The Bible says over there in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 at about verse number 12, that regardless of whatever's evils around you and regardless of whatever's going on in the world, in Ecclesiastes 9 verse verse 11, let's start there. I returned, I saw under the sun the races not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, and neither yet to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happeneth unto them all. Now look in verse 12. For a man also knoweth not his time. I'm sitting here preaching to you, and no doubt I've got some plans to be able to do some things this week, Lord willing. But man doesn't know what his time is. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so the Son of Man are snared in an evil time. You and I are caught in a time that God intended for us to live and live right and walk right and stand up and be strong and to show others the difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. He says we're snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, if you were to read in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and about verse number 2, you're going to find out that time is a passing thing. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. Every one of us that are in the building here, there was a time that when you and I were born. And make no mistake about it, there's going to come a time that we're going to leave this world. It's going to be a time to die and to be able to pass off from this life. I want to say to you, regardless of the evil that is around us, that bombards us, you and I ought to keep walking with God and talking with God and talking for God and showing the world there's a difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Now, back in our text, I want to say to you, we're going to read a passage. And as we look there in verse number 14, here's what he said. Here's what to conduct yourself while all this is going on. Till God says time is now past, it'll be no longer. Till God takes you and I out, and our time is already past, here's what we're to do. This Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're going to be able to walk right, talk right, look right, and act right, speak right, you're going to have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in the armor of God. And if you're a child of God, it's He that'll dress you in that. We're not to be out there riotous and all that riotous and rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness and strife and envy and all that screaming and all that hollering about that are just blasphemous people. You know, a lot of these folks, they get out there and they mean well and they do well and so forth and on, and I'm glad there's plenty of them to get out there and do that. But let me just tell you, whenever you're out there in a riot, somebody hits you with a brick and you're damaged for the rest of your life. You might have wanted to remember and rehearse this passage before you get out there. Yeah. See? Doesn't have anything to do with manliness or not. I really wish they'd bring back, you know, like they did in the Old West. Get out here in the street. Let's get it over with. Fast, you know. Of course, I'm going to want to go home and practice my fast draw a little better. I don't want to be like my nephew's unprepared. I had a nephew, and he got him a 22 Magnum. Man, he was showing me how fast and how slick that he was, you know. And all that. I said, man, I bet that takes a lot of practice. It does. It really does. And the next time he was practicing, shot himself through the leg. What time was it? Time you lay the gun down and get more Bible than you did bullets. You know, that's the reason why God gave us, and if you read this whole chapter, that's the reason why God gave us law enforcement, so that we don't have to deal with that. And that they can deal with that themselves. They can take care of that themselves. And if somebody wants to come to me and they want to tell me, hey, listen, you're not going to have time for the law to get here, okay, that's another story. But right now, let me tell you what time it's going to be. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And conduct yourself in a manner that's Christ-like. Amen. And probably you won't need a weapon. You won't need. And I sure would hate, while I was trying to get my gun loaded and shoot myself in the leg, somebody stabbed me with a cheap pocket knife. Wouldn't you hate that? Wouldn't you hate that? You won't have time whenever the right person comes along to say, "Hey, didn't you know this was going to be a gunfight? Well, what did you stab me for then?" See, it don't always work out like you think. Let me ask you this here. Do you know what time it is tonight? Well, it's time to just let go of all the fleshly lust and crazy ideas that bombard our mind, and let go and let God have His will and His way in our heart and our life. I can promise you right now is that if the enemy, and by enemy I'm talking about China, if the enemy of the world, if I'm talking about that were to come after us, I don't think for one minute that some of the 22 bullets I've got, I don't think they're going to have much power against a tank, armored tank, do you? Or against a bomber that flies over and drops a bomb, do you? Now, I may be one like the little boy, you know, the preacher, he walked out one night after church. He ate supper with them, and he looked up, and he seen the little boy aiming at the moon, big old shiny moon. He shot at it. Preacher said, "Hey, son, what you shooting at?" He said, "The moon." Cocked it back, ready. Oh, he said, "You ain't going to be able to hit the moon with the BB gun." He said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to shoot at it." And shot again. And he said, "Well, hey, son, I'm just telling you, you're wasting your time, And the little boy looked around at him and said, "Hey, preacher, what are you shooting at?" That's a good question, isn't it? Yes. You know, it might be good that if you and I pay attention to what time it is, what are we doing for the cause of Christ? Yes. What are we doing for the glory of God and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now, that doesn't mean you got to get a BB gun and start shooting at the moon. That won't do anything for the Lord. It's just to let us know that, hey, the preacher was worried about what he was doing. At least he is doing everything he knew to do. You and I are not doing all we know to do. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, thank You.